You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Trust Issues. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
I have a question for all of us here today. And here's the question that I have. Have you ever felt like God couldn't be trusted? Ever a time in your life of where you wondered whether God could be trusted? Well, you're not the first one. Many, many years ago, the writer penned these words. And I love the Word of God because the Word of God just tells it like it is. And here's what he says. Maybe what you have felt. I know it's what I have felt at times in my life. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Have there ever been a time in your life of where you felt that God was far off? Maybe you couldn't trust him? Well, we're kicking off a series today, and it's called Trust Issues. When God doesn't make sense. And I want to welcome each and every one of you. And if this happens to be your first time with us, we're glad that you're here. We believe that you have a great opportunity to get a better understanding of God. Because all of us, myself included, have had trust issues with God. There have been times in my life of where I wondered, can I really trust him? And trust is a big issue. Because it's foundational to every great relationship. Every healthy relationship has as its foundation trust. And so let me identify for us what I mean by trust. Trust is the act of placing confidence in someone or something else. It is the belief in the reliability, ability, trust, or strength of someone or something. And so trust is the act of placing confidence in someone. And it's foundational to your experience and my experience. And it's really necessary for you and I to be able to function in society, to be able to function in life in any kind of healthy manner. You see, trust is the foundation of any organization. Any business, any church, any marriage, any relationship. You show me a healthy organization and trust is flourishing. It's just rampant all throughout the organization because it's the bedrock of all relationships, every single relationship. And those relationships that you're struggling in right now, it comes back to one thing. It's the issue of trust. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust her? And it's not just our relationship with one another, it's our relationship with God. Because trust is the core basis of a healthy spiritual life that's found in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to the failure of any relationship, in your world or in my world, what happens is the first domino that falls is trust. Trust begins to erode and deteriorate. And then all the other dysfunctions of life begin to seep in, like the lack of commitment, the fear of conflict, limited compassion, or low vulnerability. They all come from the trust failure. Once trust has been failed in a relationship, we see these other common denominators begin to be apparent in our relationship because trust is foundational in everything that we do. And here's why this is so important. Every single day, today, matter of fact, you are making choices about whom you will trust and how much you will trust them in every area of your life. We're making trust decisions all the time, 24/7, 365. And yet all of us have had moments in our life of where that trust has been fractured or broken or misinterpreted. Situations that have caused you and I to be reluctant to trust other people. Maybe you grew up in a divorced home and you felt that bond of trust was broken. And so now you have a hard time trusting other people or people in authority. Or maybe you were married and now you're divorced and now you have an issue with trusting men. Or you have an issue with trusting women. Because we have a tendency to label that, right? Or maybe you feel that some injustice has been done to you. Maybe by the law enforcement. And so what happens is our tendency is to say, well, I don't trust the police. Because once that domino falls, other things begin to happen. And we all experience this because we live among broken people. There's not a person here today who hasn't been disappointed by another person. There's not a person here today who hasn't felt let down by another person. And so it creates distrust. It causes us to build walls instead of bridges. And so trust is the act of placing confidence in someone, specifically God. And here's the question that we want to answer in this series. Can God be trusted? Can God be trusted in every area of our lives? Because it's the key to life. And yet there's a lot of things that hinder you and me from ultimately trusting God. You see, here's what trust issues do. Trust issues causes us to pull back because we're not sure someone has our back. And the reason why maybe you're not close to God today is because you can't trust Him. You don't think that He has your back. Because something has happened in your life that didn't go according to the way in which you thought it should go. And if you were God, you would have done something about it. You would have changed it. And that didn't happen. And so now you're thinking, I'm not for sure if God has my back. And so what happens is we have a tendency to distance ourselves from a person that we don't trust because we're in that protective mode. And we get a little bit hard because we want to protect ourselves from being disappointed or hurt again. And so can God be trusted? I want to tell you absolutely. I want to tell you that His character is trustworthy. And I want to share with you some things today that hopefully will enlighten you on this and be able to bring understanding in your life, because it's so important that you and I understand that God can be trusted. No matter who has hurt you, no matter who has let you down, because here's what happens in life. Let me tell you what happens in life. I don't trust my father, so I don't trust the church that he goes to, and I don't trust the God in which they believe in. You see, there's a domino effect there. Or you know what? I was hurt by a pastor. And so because I'm hurt by a pastor, he let me down. Then what happens is I don't trust in him and I don't trust in that church and I don't trust in God. See how that works? And it works with us in every area of life. And so what I want to do today is I want to be able to expose you to what I believe will help you and I get a better understanding of who God is and how we can relate to him. Now, no one does this better than Paul. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament, and he writes letters to churches, helping them process and work through different issues and problems. And he writes to the church in Rome, and he's basically writing them about what's happening in life. and sin, okay? And sin is basically doing that which is wrong and how it affects us. And here's what he says. It's interesting. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, what is he saying here? He's acknowledging that there's suffering going on, but he's also believing that something better is coming. He says it is not worth comparing to the glory that will ultimately be revealed in us. He goes on to say this, for the creation awaits an eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The children of God is those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. So he says, creation, that's the world in which we live in, awaits an eager what? Expectation for the children of God to be revealed. He goes on to say this, for the creation was subject to frustration. Basically, he's saying that we live in a world of frustration. Not by its own choice. The world didn't choose this, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Now here's what he's saying. He is saying that God has placed frustration in the world. That the world didn't choose it, but God did. And the reason why God did it that way is because man fell. Man sinned. And because man sinned, there's repercussions, there's consequences. And that meant that man could no longer live in the perfect paradise that God had created for him. And so because man sinned, it affected the world. It affected the world. It would be like this. And it's hard for us to understand. It's like if your eardrum would burst right now. You would experience tremendous pain. You would lose your equilibrium. You would lose your balance. But if I were to look at you, I would think everything's what? Normal. I mean, you haven't changed. You've just experienced an enormous amount of pain, and you've lost your balance. That's what happened when sin entered the world, to man as well as our earth. And so God subjected it to it. He goes on to say this, in hope that the creation itself will be what? Liberated from its bondage. He's saying that I'm hoping that when the sons of God, the children of God will come, that what happens is God will restore it to its rightful original intent, free it from its bondage to decay, and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. He's basically saying this, one day God is going to restore everything to its rightful order, to its original intent. And yet now, while we're here, we suffer because of frustration. So let me help us with something today. Harvey and Irma, they're a result of sin in the world. They're a result of the frustration that God has subjected the world to. Not because a person sinned, but because we live in a broken world. And so Harvey is the result of sin. It shows us the magnitude and the destructiveness of sin. And so we look and we see, how can this happen? We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And so when these things happen, it should remind you and me of our own personal sin. When Dwight chooses to sin and go his own way, he brings a hurricane into his family that wrecks people's lives and hopes and dreams. You go to Texas, and we're there, by the way, with 8 days of hope. You go to Texas, and you know what you'll find? You'll find men and women, boys and girls, whose dreams have been wrecked. Why? Ultimately, because of sin. We live in a broken world. It doesn't work like it's supposed to work. And because of what Adam and Eve did, there were consequences to that that infected a perfect world, and now it's no longer perfect. It doesn't work the way in which it was first designed to. And so hear me out. When you sin and I sin willfully, we become Harvey in people's lives. And you know what? They begin to question, well, where's God in all of this? Why would God let this happen? Why would God allow her to leave me? Why would God allow him to do this? And what happens is we live in a world of freedom of choice. And so sin is very, very serious. And when we have these natural disasters, it should remind me and you of your choices and my choices, and that none of them are independent on how they affect other people. So how can you and I process all of this in light of living in a broken world, in light of asking the question, can God be trusted? Let me give us some thoughts. Here's the first thing that I believe that we need to do. We need to accept the chaos. We need to accept the chaos. And this is so, so, so important. Because what happens is, if you want, listen to me very carefully. If you want to change a relationship, then you have to change the expectation. The reason why we're so disappointed in so many relationships is because we have unrealistic expectations. And when your expectation is not met, whether it's with your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter, your mother, your father, your boss, whoever, when that expectation is not met, then what happens is we begin to say to ourselves, I can't trust them. I can't trust them. Not realizing that they're fallen, imperfect people. And so if you want to change any relationship, you change the expectation. If you want to change your relationship with God, you change the expectation. And so we have to accept the chaos. And the great thing about God is, you know what? He will never lie to you and me. He's straightforward. As painful as it might be, he's always honest, because honesty is always the best way. And so here's what we learn from God. In Job 14:1, he says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of what? Trouble. He's letting us know that we live in a broken world. He's letting us know that we live in a world of frustration that is not what it once was. And he's saying, you know what? Life is full of trouble. So accept the chaos. Deal with it. Accept it and say, hey, you know what? I live in a broken world. I live among broken people. Jesus even goes on to say this. He says it in the New Testament. John records it in this way. In this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't say you might have trouble. It could come your way. It might come your way. No, he says in this world, you will have trouble. And so if you're going to get to a point in your life, if I'm going to get a point in my life of where I can fully trust God, then I have to accept the chaos of the world in which I live in, that it's full of trouble. It's broken. It doesn't work the way in which God first intended it to work. Here's the second thing I need to do. I need to understand my limitations. We need to understand our limitations. You need to understand your limitations. And we have a boatload of limitations. One is the way in which God thinks. God thinks completely different than you and I. Do you know that? Huh? If you don't know that, get married. She thinks completely different than you. Or he thinks completely different than you, all right? And that causes what? Misunderstandings. And if you don't understand that, that can lead to what? Mistrust. But here's what Isaiah tells us about God. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Wow. You see, what happens is we create a distance between us and God because we feel that distance dulls the pain. And so what happens is we have conflict with God because we don't think like he thinks, and we don't plan like he plans. And so what happens is that hurts us. That's frustrating for us. And so what happens is our tendency is to pull back and to distance ourselves, so that we can dull the pain, but it doesn't. It just creates more and more frustration. And so we have to understand our limitations. and not pull away from God. Because we have a tendency to think that being distant from somebody makes it less riskier for us to get hurt or for us to be disappointed. And what we have to understand is our limitations, that God's thoughts and God's ways are not your ways and not my ways. Have you come to that conclusion? That God doesn't think anything like you? That his ways aren't any way like your ways are? You know, well, if I was God, have you ever said that? If I was God, this is what I would do, but you're not God. And that creates frustration in us. And so how do we handle our limitations? Well, the proverb writer would say it like this: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Listen to me very carefully. The reason why so many of us have a hard time with trusting God with all of our heart is we try to figure him out. And we say, you know what? Once I figure God out, then I can trust him. You'll never trust him. Because his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. And as long as you have the attitude, you know what? Well, when I figure out God, then I'll be able to trust him. You'll never trust him. And so he says here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Wow. You know, why? Because you don't know all the facts. God knows all the facts. God has all the details. And he says here that in all of your ways, if you will acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. He will bring order out of your mess and my mess. And we've seen it over and over and over again. So we're called to understand our limitations. I don't know everything. Rick Warren would say it like this, and I love him, his quote here. He says, if God was small enough for you to understand, he wouldn't be big enough for you to completely trust him. See, we want to put God in a box. We want to be able to figure him out. We want to put limits on him. There's no limits on God. There's a limit on me and there's a limit on you, but there's no limit on God. And so we need to accept the chaos, and we need to be able to understand our limitations, that we're limited. If you have any kids, you know this is true. How many of us have been raised by parents that frustrated us? Huh? Any hands out there? Okay, there's a few, okay? If you have parents, you've been frustrated by them because you didn't understand their thoughts or their ways. And then you became a parent. And what happens? You get a little bit of maturity to yourself. You get a little bit of perspective. And then what happens is everything begins to change. Because as a child, you were limited. And now guess what? You hear yourself saying the very same thing to your kids that mom and dad said to you. And it's hilarious, isn't it? It's hilarious. Why? Because you have limitations as a child. And I think God gives us those experiences to let us know that, you know what, we're not like him. Paul would write it like this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. He says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with what? Perfect clarity. He goes on to say this: all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Wow. So what we have to do is we have to accept our chaos and we have to understand our limitations. Here's the third thing that we need to do. If we're going to come to a place of where we learn to trust God completely, we have to realize that God is in control. That God is in control. You say, well, Dwight, I thought you said that we have to accept chaos. Yeah. The world is in chaos, but God is not. The world is in trouble, but God is not. The world is confused, but God is not. God is in control. He never dials 911. He never panics. He never wrings his hands. And we have to realize that God is in control. We have to know the facts. See, some of us don't know that. The writer in the book of Acts, Luke, he says it like this. He says, from one man, he created all nations throughout the whole earth. Through one man. I would say that's pretty powerful. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. Wow. That means that he lifts people up and he brings people down. And he determined their boundaries. I would say that's somebody that's in control. And that's what Luke was saying. He was reminding everybody that in light of what they were going through, that, hey, you know what? You may feel that things are chaotic. I may feel that they are chaotic. I might feel that things are out of control. But I need to remind myself that God's in control. I need to understand my limitations, but not place those limitations on God. You see, Paul wrote like this in a time of where he was perplexed and he was trying to process everything that was going on in their life, and he was trying to help other people understand it. And he said it like this: indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Have you ever been there? You know, the video that we watched, some of those people were expressing, God, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like this is the end. Where are you? Why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you coming through for me? And this is what Paul is conveying. He's saying, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The quickest way that God gets our attention is through pain. Y'all right on that one? So if you're experiencing pain right now, God wants your attention. And he wants you to know that he's completely in control. And though maybe a marriage, a finance, a career might die, he's so in control that he can bring it back to life. He can bring it back to life. And so what he is saying is, I'm worthy of being trusted. Here's the fourth thing that I want to share with you, and that is this. Trust the goodness of God. Trust the goodness of God. Maybe not of man, but of God. Here's what Moses writes. He says, God is not human. Aren't you thankful for that? See, God is not fallen. He's not like you and me. He's not one that is full of limitations or liabilities. Says, God is not human that he should lie. God never lies. Do you lie? Do I lie? Yes. Just tell the person next to you, I know you lie sometimes. See, some of us can't handle that, and you're lying that you don't lie. Because the fact of the matter is, all of us lie from time to time, okay? God never does. But you know what we do? We place that on God. But what Moses is saying is God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. I can't trust him. They're always changing their mind. They're always saying they're doing this and they never get around to doing that. They promised to be here and they never showed up. They promised me a promotion and I never got it. Not so with God. He never changes his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Mm-mm. So you got to trust in the goodness of God. And you see, all of this was proven and lived out in the person of Jesus Christ. What's Scripture tell us? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the goodness of God. Paul writes about it. When he wrote Romans to the people who were suffering, here's what he said. You see, at just the right time, God's timing's always perfect. He's never behind. He's never late. He's always on time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? That's me. That'd be you. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the goodness of God. You know how we talk? Well, when he comes back on his knees and he begs for forgiveness, maybe we can have a relationship. But until he does that, I don't want anything to do with him. That's not God. His goodness far surpasses that. He says that while you and I were still enemies, he died for you and me. You see, listen, I either am going to determine my level of trust with God based on my circumstances in a broken world that experiences suffering and frustration, or I can base my trust level with God on his character, that while I was at my worst, he died for me. And what I'm telling you is you can trust in the goodness of God, because he's loved you when you were unlovable. He's loved me when I am unlovable. And so I can trust his goodness. Here's the fifth thing that we need to do. We need to take control of our thoughts. We need to take control of our thoughts. You say, why do we need to take control of our thoughts? Because you cannot act inconsistently with how you think. You cannot act inconsistently with how you think. And so what happens is the enemy will come to you and will say, if God really loved you, this wouldn't be happening. If God was all-powerful, he'd do something about that. If God was fill in the blank. And what happens is you can either base your level of trust on feelings, and your feelings are like this, or you can base your trust on the fact that God is good. So you have to take control of your thoughts. You say, how do you do that? Isaiah gives us an idea here. He says, you, referring to God, will keep him, that's you and me, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. And so we need to take care of our thoughts. We need to control our thoughts. See, it's the same way that happens in our relationship with one another. If you have ill feelings towards somebody, I promise you, you will not trust them. If you have good thoughts towards them, you will find yourself trusting them. And so it is with us and God. Let me give you this last one, and here's the last one that I want to share with you. Not only do we need to take control of our thoughts, but we need to gain a friend's perspective. We need to gain a friend's perspective. And this is huge. You see, one of the things that we say around New Point is this: it's dangerous to do life alone. Because things will happen to you and things will happen to me, because we live in a chaotic world and we have limitations, that we will misread God. We will misread what's happening in our life, and we need somebody else to be able to speak into our life and to give us a better perspective. Because when you're in the midst of a mess, when you're in the midst of a tragedy, when you're in the midst of pain, what happens is we don't think right. We're basically feeling-oriented people. And we need to be able to gain a friend's perspective and to be able to say, help me, man, I'm all messed up. I'm not thinking right. And Solomon tells us about it when he says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Check this out. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Wow. Pity the person who doesn't have a friend who can speak into their life and say, you know what? I know this is tragic. I know this was wrong. I know this was painful. But let me give you the bigger picture. Let me help you understand it in a greater light. I've had friends do that for me. And it's helped me to come back and to be able to realize that, you know what? Though I don't like what I'm going through, I can trust God to see me through it. And I'm thankful for the friends that I have who bring perspective in my life. Now, here's what I want to leave you with. Some of you are here today, and you know what? You used to trust God, but something has happened. And you've created distance between you and God because it's your way of protecting yourself from getting hurt again. Maybe you've gone through a divorce, maybe a loss of a child, maybe you were mistreated at work, maybe a church disappointed you, maybe a pastor disappointed you, and you've allowed that to come between you and God. Because once that domino falls, it affects every area of your life. And today, what I would say is that you need to trust in God's goodness and realize that He's in control. And to be able to take control of those thoughts that would want you to go down another path. Others of us are skeptics, and you've never really trusted God. You just say, I can't believe in a God who supposedly is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He would allow Harvey to come in and just be disruptive. Well, what I would say to you and what we've learned today is this: that's ultimately the result of sin. Sin is always destructive. And one day, God's going to restore everything and make it right. I like to say it like this: everybody believes in heaven. You say, I'm not for sure if there's a God, Dwight. I'm a skeptic. No, you believe in heaven. You know why? Because you get angry and mad when things on earth don't go right. And it's in your DNA for things to be right. And there's only one place where everything is right. It's called heaven. And one day, God's going to bring heaven to earth and restore and make everything right. And you don't want to miss out on it. And the way that you can make sure that you don't miss out on it is by trusting Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And you can say a simple yet life-transforming prayer. Just take one step of trust, okay? I'm not asking you to believe that the world was created in 6 days. I'm just asking you to believe that Jesus died for you so that you could have a relationship with Him. And just say, God, as much as I know how and understand, I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and teach me to trust you. And if you'll do that, He'll honor it. And your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And God, we realize that there is so much going on in our world today that would want us to think that you're not in control and that you are indifferent and aloof and that you are not trustworthy. But we know by your act, by coming to earth and dying for us so that we could be forgiven and that we could have eternal life, that you are trustworthy, that you are a God who makes promises and keeps them. And so I pray for all of us here today that we would accept the chaos, that we would understand our limitations, that we would realize that you're in control, that we would trust your goodness, that we would take control of our thoughts, and that we would have friends that would help us to have a perspective that includes you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.